The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime.
Oh, let's go!
Footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. It's the footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jimmy, JC. All we know and all we talk about is footy, footy. It's time to get this party started tonight.
It's a year again.
Yeah, yesterday was a shit show. My son played in Woodbridge at 11 to 12 after that. Then I went and watched at York University, TFC 2 played Charlotte Legacy. And then after that game, I went straight to the studio to do Vancouver and Forge. And then on Saturday, I went and watched the first team play. Because it was Mackay's birthday as well, so I took him and his cousin.
Oh,
so
happy birthday, Mackay.
Well, Jimmy, you're in the business, you know? You're in the industry.
I know, but it's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot of football, yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, maybe the start this week, you can make an effort to watch as little soccer as possible. Remove yourself. Or are you not allowed that? Are you going to head to TFC today?
No, not today. Tomorrow, Wednesday, okay. Thursday.
Okay. Well, we'll find something else to watch. Because no one needs that much soccer in their life.
And when I watched Forest in Porto on Thursday.
Oh.
That was a great game.
Wow. Europa.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, BetMGM is the place for soccer in Canada, and it presents Footy Prime, even though Jimmy Brennan hates soccer right now. He doesn't mind the odd wager here and there.
Allegedly.
So, here we are.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. But yeah, listen, we've got a lot to get to today. We're going to get to the women's match. They smashed Zambia 4-0 on Saturday in pretty tough conditions. But another win. Momentum is what we talked about on Friday's show, and it's more momentum. Well, I don't know why I'm saying it like that.
I don't know why either.
I've never in my life said that way before.
It's almost like a Dr. Evil, isn't it? Momentum.
Momentum.
It's a bit of an oxymoron, though, because I think of momentum and I think moving forward quickly with some speed, and you're like, momentum.
Well, yeah, that's right. Should be momentum.
Yeah.
Right? Should be, yeah. We got CPL to get to. We've got a debut win for Supra in Quebec. Some good games in the CPL. We got some European footy to talk about. Big weekend for Ipswich. And looking at the table in the championship, we'll talk about this. There's a real Canadian flavor potentially in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So that, I mean, and those playoffs are just the best in sport. Sorry, NHL, but they are. They're amazing. Especially when the Leafs aren't in the NHL playoffs.
You just give it up. Definitely. When the Leafs are out, do you just give it up? Are you like,
yeah,
it's a hard stop on anything Leafs? I don't read about the Leafs. I don't want to hear about the Leafs.
Oh, I'll no. That's when the fun begins, Wunger. I love it. I love that. That's when all the dysfunction comes out. Hirings, you know, who's going to be the GM, president? What's happening with Matthews and Neil? I love all that kind of scuttlebutt. My big fan of scuttlebutt.
Good. Yeah, but you don't watch any other hockey after that. For me, once the Leafs are out, it's it. I don't watch any other matches.
Not usually, but this year, because my
the Leafs hired
right now, I think I might.
Wow.
Like Leafs hired who?
Oh, they hired a firm headed by Neil Glassberg. Neil Glassberg was our head scout for the McGill Vanier Cup team back in the late 80s, really? Early 90s. Yeah. Yeah. And he started he's out of Montreal, and I'm linked in with him. And so good on you. And Neil, congratulations on getting this opportunity with MLSC. Hopefully it works out for you, but not a lot does.
Please do a good job, because someone has to there. Please get the right person in charge. Anyway, we're not talking about hockey. That podcast drops on Tuesdays, Hockey Prime. But
at least you don't have to worry about a Game 7 loss.
There is that. Thank God. No heartbreak this spring for me. Brilliant. Anyway, listen, actually, I've got a confession to make from the last show. We did our footy picks, brought to you by BetMGM.
Oh, yeah,
and we were joking how I use AI to put together a little parlay, which I did. Turns out AI lied to me. And
it's not that clever, is it?
In a shocking twist.
It's not that clever. Where is it? I, oh, yeah, so I asked... It's basically they gave me the wrong matchup, so I had Inter. I know.
Like, if this isn't a cautionary tale, I don't know what is.
Yeah, it is. So they gave me Inter Milan to win, Real Madrid to win, Man City to win. So I went in there into BetMGM, made those bets, didn't look at the opponents, just click, 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 done, right? Good odds. And then I went a little bit deeper and thought, is Man City, I thought Man City's playing Chelsea this weekend, not Crystal Palace. Turns out they are. So I went back to my pal at ChatGPT and said, these are wrong, these matchups. So they gave me more matchups and they were still wrong. So I went, still incorrect, WTF. The response was, you're right to call it out. My earlier replies were incorrect and I shouldn't have guessed the fixtures. That's what it says. I shouldn't have guessed the fixtures. These are our lords and masters, apparently. And they're guessing fixtures.
Well, you should have sent back, you owe me money now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I should do.
It's not taking responsibility.
No, not a lot.
No, it's all on you, Sharms.
Yeah, you're not taking responsibility for using ChatGPT for your picks.
It's a week. I did two parlays and I won them both. So I assumed it's good, but not this weekend, apparently. Ignore what I said about using ChatGPT to put together parlays.
But Sharms, you did a really good pick with AI on the Masters. Mike Tyson did win the Masters. So congratulations.
That's right. That's right. Oh boy. And yeah, of course.
You should have just used my pick. I gave you a pick.
And you got the under, right, Craig? Yours is correct.
Yeah.
That was in the Spurs game. So let's start with that. Spurs. I want to get MLS, but let's start with Spursy. Oh boy.
Oh.
Wow, here we go. Into the drop zone. New manager, and nothing changes. Like, nothing changes. They showed nothing whatsoever. And they lose to Sunderland 1-0. Wow. It's getting pretty real, isn't it?
2 points in relegation, yeah. Nottingham got an important draw, and West Ham ended up winning, so against Wolves, and yeah, game on. I didn't see, honestly, a few months ago, West Ham looked dead and buried. If it wasn't for Spurs, who haven't won a league game, I don't believe, this year since January, the only games they've actually won since January are three Champions League games. It's crazy. Like,
it doesn't make any sense.
Crazy.
There's still a few games left, but man, it's looking worse and worse. And I watched the Tyson Fury fight from the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium on Saturday.
Mm.
And it kind of reminded you, like, people were saying that their ownership have just taken the eye off the soccer ball, so to speak. They're focusing on this massive, incredible stadium and all these great events it can host, whilst forgetting about what actually at the heart of this sporting club is football.
Yeah.
Get it right.
But it was nice to see fans cheering and happy in that Tottenham Stadium for the first time.
That is true. Did you watch it, Jimmy?
I watched it.
I mean, it's a crappy fight, right? But it's good for Fury just getting some rounds under his belt before the Joshua fight, which is next by the looks of things. Although that fiasco late in the end of the fight when Joshua stands up, you know, and Fury's trying to force him to, you know, agree to the fight, is all a bit much. But that's for Boxing Prime. This is Footy Prime. That's Wednesday's drop. Yeah.
Hockey. Before your first coffee, while the rest of the city's still hitting snooze, we're breaking down everything that happened last night.
Center, score!
The biggest moments, the key storyline, and the takes that actually matter.
Back for Kudrow, score!
Wake up and get your hockey fix. Fast, smart, and ready for your day with voices who live the game. Morning Hockey starts here. Weekday mornings on SiriusXM Morning Skate. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. Click to SiriusXM.ca/Morning Skate.
So the Prem was interesting. Chelsea got smashed by Man City, by the way. Arsenal lose.
Uh-oh, squeaky bum.
Yes.
6 points. 6 points. Game in hand for City, and they play Arsenal next weekend.
Oh,
jeez.
Away. Arsenal's away, aren't they?
At Etihad, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
It was once 9 points, now it's 6 points.
Yes.
Yeah.
Don't know.
Are you not entertained?
This game in hand, where is this like a push from one of the Champions League? Or was it, do we remember what, why?
I think it's because Carabao Cup final, probably. It's probably that bloody Crystal Palace game that ChatGPT got wrong.
Right.
Right.
Well, at least we got next season's game, Sharms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's bound to come up on the docket somewhere.
Yeah. In 2029, these will be your games.
The thing is, I think any neutral right now is rooting against Arsenal because it'll be so funny. But you don't want to see City win it either, given all the noise around that club and these charges that still are lingering there. It's tough, right? I mean, where does your allegiance lie? With Aston Villa? Are they going to find a miracle?
Mine
miracle
lies with winning? Chaos. Yeah. I would love to see Arsenal bottle it, quite frankly.
me too. It's like, you remember when you're a kid and you're playing with your younger brother playing basketball, and he goes and he's dribbling and you let him beat you, and then he's about to do a layup and you just squat, get out of my house. You know? That's like Arsenal. Man City's kind of going, go on, yeah, put up the little layup. And then
that's how Jimmy plays with his kids.
Yeah. I know.
He's swatting Mackay.
Yeah. Get out.
You want Jack Armstrong narrating this, don't you? Really, this whole thing.
Yeah.
Get that garbage out of here.
It's the only thing that Spurs got going for them is the fact that Arsenal might give it
up. No kidding. Oh, that would be a question for some truly self-loathing Spurs fans, right? Would they take a relegation if it meant that Arsenal blew this? Some of them would, I bet you.
Yes, I agree.
Craiger, I was thinking about West Ham, and there's been such a movement away from ownership, like people bashing them. Just like Tottenham, it's not unlike the same thing. Mm-hmm. But is there a missed opportunity to get sent down and have a realignment of ownership, or does that happen at all? Or do they just go down, get their balloon payment, come back up the next year? Like, is that what it is?
That's what they're hoping for. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Spurs will be in a very good position if they do get relegated, because of the parachute payments and they'll be able to outmuscle everybody, but it's not easy getting back in the Premier League. So that'll be interesting. Yeah. If that happens, obviously, it's still what they got, 6 games left.
Do you think Zerbi's got a clause in his contract? He signed a 4-year deal. I can't see Roberto De Zerbi managing in the championship for some reason.
He got a 5-year deal, didn't he?
Was it 5? Whatever it is, it's a long-term deal. Maybe including this year, maybe.
Geez, AI has really fucked you up today there, Sharps.
Yeah. Well, sorry, 4 or 5 years. God help me.
I can only imagine his agent must have talked to him and go, hey, guess what? I got you 5 years. You haven't lasted anywhere more than 3.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, so they were desperate and they gave him 5 years. So
it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to seeing Tottenham play away to Lincoln.
Dubsy,
I think it's kind of the moment's passed. But I was going to say, can we change parachute payment to lead balloon payment?
For some clubs, it is though, right?
Yeah. Lead Wigan balloon.
They had it. Yeah. Where are they now?
Who?
They're playing in the CPL. Right? Just plummeting. Yeah, I mean, you do wonder about Spurs. I mean, you're right. They would probably bounce back pretty quickly, because they're by the way out of it. But with the contracts, you wonder what clauses are there, because they wouldn't have the same team. A lot of these guys aren't playing league championship football. Richarlison's not playing against Lincoln, right, for example. So, but what's the value for these players? Pretty rock bottom, you think, right?
Well, I mean, there won't be any clauses where their wages go down if they get relegated. That won't happen to any of the contracts. But they are on target if they do go down to lose something like $300 million, something in that range. It's a huge, huge thing. And this is why we love relegation and promotion, really. It's devastating for clubs, but it's exciting to see what's going on at the bottom as well as the top of the league.
But they'll host Fury Joshua and they'll make the money back. So it's fine. Right, they can afford it. But that is interesting, because let me ask you, professional footballers, the mindset of certain professional footballers. some of these guys have big money, right? They're on big money. Now, I know Spurs aren't renowned for, you know, paying players the most. That's been part of their problems, where they can't attract the top players. But Richarlison, for example, and I just use him as an example. I don't know, have no idea what he is as a human being. I have no idea what his contract is. But if you're Richarlison and you're guaranteed this contract at Spurs, whether you're playing league championship or you're playing in the Premier League, you're guaranteed this money. And you're not going to get that anywhere else because your stock's dropped. Are certain athletes prepared to play a division down to guarantee that money? Or are they, no, I have to play the top leagues and I'll take less money to play in the top league?
Well, I mean, to give you an example, what Wolves a few years ago, they spent a ton of money in the championship. Remember they brought all over those Portuguese guys?
Yeah.
Paid them mass amounts of money, got promoted. So there is a world where that does happen, and there's enough money that these guys can pay incredible amounts of money for these players to be able to do.
But that's coming in, though. That's but the opposite. They have these players under contract. Will Richarlison, as an example, would he be prepared to play in the league championship because he's guaranteed that money? If it means because he can't get the same paycheck at, I don't know, Coventry next year in the Premier League because they're looking for a striker.
Mm-hmm.
That's the question. I don't know. You tell me. I mean, Jimmy, how do professionals think about these things?
I think most of them want to get out of there and leave.
If you've got options, yeah.
If you've got options, and I'm sure.
Even less money. It means less money.
Yeah, and I think the club would have to work with a lot of players as well that want to leave and figure a way of compensation or get them off the books. Because like Stack says, like you going to the championship, getting out of the championship's not easy. So what if you keep everybody on those wages, you don't come up the next year, then you got another year of paying these wages. Like, there comes a point where it's like, no, we can't afford this. And I think the top players will end up talking to their agents and going, let's do a deal now and get me off the books and get me out of here.
And I think it's most. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I mean, I've never been in that situation. Obviously, Forrest and Jimmy can speak to it more than I can. But just putting myself in the boots and the shoes of those players, it depends on your standing, like where you are, your most recent performances, where you fall in the pecking order, how old you are, how many years you foresee playing, continuing. Because playing in the Premier League has unique prestige and renown, right? In the world game, it gives you kind of that credence, that calling card that you take back to your national team. I think it's something that you can put on the table to say, listen, take me over this guy because this is where I'm playing. These are the opponents that I'm facing, the type of competition that I'm in, day out on the training pitch, but also each week, twice a week, whether you're playing in Europe or not, you're playing toe-to-toe with these big stars. But if you're an aging superstar or just aging Premier League player and you want to continue playing and getting paid, you don't want to forego that paycheck or those wages, then I think you stick with Spurs. And then it's also the layer of like an Andy Robertson leaving Liverpool. The rumors were that if Spurs were able to stay up, he was going to go to Spurs. But the caveat being they have to stay in the Premier League. So it's all, you lose that attraction for players, right? That all of a sudden it's not nearly as likely that you'll be able to bring in big stars and these big names because you're now in the championship versus the Premier League.
That there is a prime example of what's wrong with Spurs though right now, isn't it? I love Andy Robertson. He's a legend. He's a declining force. He's aging. Spurs is a big enough club that they should be going for the best. You know, they should be going for the next big thing at fullback, not some, you know, declining, aging force who's a great guy, great personality, but isn't going to maybe put you to that next level.
Sorry, Sharms, weren't Spurs part of the one of the six teams for Super League back in the day?
Yeah, and that's why everybody was laughing as well.
Right.
Great point, yeah. Yeah, well, they
not so super.
Europa League champion.
Not so super.
No, just a league.
Not so super.
Just a regular league, not a super league.
A declining aged league.
Yeah, garage league. No, that's not true. But not super.
But it's funny though when we talk about the Prem and the League Championship, and oh my God, can you imagine playing the League Championship? It's a really great league. You're treated beautifully. You're paid really well. Amazing stadiums. It's still a pretty good gig.
And you get to play with all the Canadians.
Yeah, right. It's a great career move for a lot of players. That's a great place to play your career. League Championship. Mm-hmm. That's
and Spurs might win games in the championship.
Yeah. Would you rather be winning games in the championship if you're a fan, week in and week out, bossing it? Or would you rather be struggling right now in the bottom three? Do I know? I don't know. Where would fans rather be? Terrible Premier League club or a great League Championship club?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, because you look at somebody like Ipswich, for instance, who've had some great years in lower divisions, get promoted to the Premier League, get relegated. Now they're in the automatic promotion spots in second place in the championship, using their parachute money to, you know, good use. And, you know, they're enjoying the fans loving the season. You know, it's difficult because you can suffer in the Premier League. Look at Luton a few years ago. Got promoted, just got absolutely shellacked all season long. That's no fun.
Really?
Yeah, you're hoping to finish 17th, you know, but.
Hey, Jimmy, you played years in the League Championship. I mean, this snobbery at the top of the Prem, does it grate League Championship players and fans?
What do you mean? What do you mean?
well, the snobbery. I mean, the League Championship's a really good league, right? Yeah. You can earn a good paycheck there. It's great football, amazing atmospheres, stadiums. Okay, it's not the Premier League, but there's a real snobbery attached to the Prem. Like, if you're not there, then what's the point? That comes from, I think, a certain element of the fan bases that don't understand football in Europe, football in England, where you can have a really good career playing in the League Championship quite happily.
Yeah,
and enjoy your football. Well, and the fans can too.
I think everybody knows what the championship is like, right? They know it's a good league. It's competitive. The only ones that really wouldn't understand it is probably your top six teams in the Premier League. Everybody else underneath that has been relegated at one point, played in the championship, bounced back up, and there's been a lot of changes over the years from, you know, maybe eight all the way down to the bottom of the Premier League, and then the top half of the championship. There's been a lot of exchanges going back and forth. So people know what the championship is like. They know the standard of play. They know how good it is in the championship as well. They have great stadiums, good crowds. They spend a lot of money bringing players in. And it is one of the, you know, top 10. They're actually saying the top six yeah. leagues in Europe for fans, for money spent. So it's a very good league.
It's a grind for players. They play 46 league games, and then you come into cup competitions a round earlier, and you're playing a lot of football. Yeah. A lot.
When you get promoted, what's the first thing you notice though? What's the biggest difference? Is it paycheck? Probably number one. But what is there something else that you realize?
Yeah, the club starts dabbling and looking at players that were before out of their reach, as well as they get inflated. Like if you're looking for players in the championship and you got promoted, they're inflated prices. You can look abroad, try and get somebody a little bit cheaper, a little bit more affordable. And what do you do when you do get promoted? Do you go all in to stay in the Premier League, but to put yourself in a financial problem like where Ipswich did back in the early 2000s, where they finished, fifth, and then they locked in all the players, figured they'd be safe for years to come, and they got relegated the year after. They went into liquidation. You know, difficult time, so you don't want to do that either. So it's a difficult one to know what to do. Norwich are the same. They spend a little bit when they get promoted, but they don't overspend because they know that there's a good chance they're going to be going back down again. So it's a difficult one. And then if you overspend, you can find yourself like Leicester, where you have points deducted.
Yeah. That was us at Norwich when we won the championship and we got promoted to the Premier League. Then we started getting more players coming in. You know, the standard gets even higher. But then when you're in the Premier League and you're playing, And if you're one of the top championship size bottom Premier League teams, there's really not much in it. But you notice a difference when you do step on the pitch and you're playing against an Arsenal, a Liverpool, where they're getting the best players in the world. And then you just see the standard and you're like, holy shit, these guys, this is a different level now.
Different level. Yeah.
Well, listen, I mentioned that Canadian contingent in the playoffs. I mean, it's going to be exciting right now. There's still four games left in the championship, five for Southampton. But at the moment, the playoff teams are Millwall, Middlesbrough, Southampton, and Hull. So Liam Miller, Carl Larin, Alfie Jones, all in the mix for the playoffs. And who knows, they could even get higher than that, especially Middlesbrough, because Ipswich is 3 points up in second place right now.
Yeah.
But how exciting would that be? I mean, I mentioned before how great the playoffs are in English football, but have that Canadian flavor, mm-hmm. for that last spot, very cool.
Yeah.
It is, but it's also extra football for our national team players and intense football at that.
No, you want to wrap up in some bubble wrap at this point,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. I mean, the playoffs, I love the playoffs and the championship because, yeah, I mean, obviously brilliant. The prize of the Premier League is massive. Like, it's worth, you know, probably $300 million to the club that goes up. But you don't want to be in it. You really don't. Like, Ipswich don't want to be in it. They want to finish in second place in that automatic spot because it's an absolute gong show. Like, you never know what's going to happen in the playoffs. Exciting, but
yeah. But you don't get your day at Wembley, Greg. You don't get that trophy, so to speak. You know,
I know it's kind of weird. You finish in second, you get nothing, and you win the playoff championship, and you get a trophy. Okay, but you still don't want that. I mean, if you win, fine. That's all great, but
yeah, it is. I played in the championship playoffs, and the buildup is absolutely wild. The cities, like the towns, wherever you are, they're going crazy. And then the buildup to the match, it's all over Sky because who's coming up next? You got four teams now that are competing to get there. We got knocked out by Sheffield United. Pesci, that little dick, ended up.
What a goal, though.
Yeah. That was one of the best games, didn't they? Yeah, that was one of the best games I've ever played in that one. And they actually said it is one of the best playoff matches ever. Was that Nottingham Forest Sheffield United match? That was just end to end. It was wild.
Yeah.
I mean, as a player, you're thinking to yourself, you win that, you're thinking about all the riches. Although, like you said before, the competition too from elsewhere. Will I keep my spot in this team, in this squad? It's a bit mixed, right? Yeah. It's great. So we'll see. There's still, you know, a month or so left in the season. Mm-hmm. And we'll see how those Canadian boys fare. Even Ali. I mean, Ali's okay. Now they're 10 points out at Norwich. They're too far back.
But yeah, they needed to beat Ipswich on the weekend, which obviously they didn't. That was a big result for Ipswich. I actually thought Norwich would have got something from that game because they've been absolutely on fire.
Yeah.
Absolutely on fire. So. Really good result for Ipswich, and Middlesbrough's on a bit of a nosedive at the moment. Alfie Jones, he's not even been playing.
Mm-hmm. I know, still, it's been longer than we thought, right?
It has been.
It's supposed to be 2 months. It's been longer than that. Staying with the Canadian theme, Dubs, more injury news. Marcelo Flores,
God.
A myofascial tear in his left leg. Okay. Is that just a posh way to say he strained a muscle?
Yep, muscle strain. Mm-hmm.
Doesn't sound good, though, does it?
No. No. I was waiting for Dubs to give us a little more of a breakdown, a little better definition, but just, yeah.
It's just, no, it's a fancy and more verbose way to say muscle strain.
It's like, it's the contusion of muscle strains. You got a bruise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, it's a deep contusion. You got a bad bruise.
Mm-hmm.
Or a dead leg.
You got a Charlie horse.
Yeah, exactly.
Precisely. But there is something about bubbling up these guys, right? Like, it's time for bubble boys. Every Canadian Canadian men's national team Moors, player
should moops. Be. Sorry, Seinfeld reference.
Bubble boy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it is moops.
Yeah, you want these guys to be playing competitive matches, you know, like Forrest is saying, like, and Jimmy alluded to, like, it's tremendous to be involved in these types of high stake matches where so much is on the line. You get to increase like kind of your platform, your visibility, the amount of eyeballs that are on you. Maybe clubs in the Premier League, even if you don't make it through from the Championship, are like, oh, like I like this guy. And you get a chance to be seen, but it's more games, it's more wear and tear potentially, it's the potential for injury. So yeah, we're getting down to the wire now where not a lot of time for a lot of these injuries that are already kind of on the books for these guys to come back, get meaningful minutes. But then it's for the guys who are healthy. Like, can we ensure that they maintain their fitness leading up to June? We can't. I know it's a grand question mark and it's a gamble. Because you need them playing, you need them contributing so that they're come in high flying and they're contributing to Canada. But at the same time, like, can we just have everybody healthy, please?
We should be embracing this anxiety we're feeling. We really should, because we didn't have it for a long time. We didn't give a shit for years and years and years and years about the health of these players in April of a World Cup year. It's like, man, who cares? Doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. We should be happy. This is what football nations feel.
This is an optimistic take for Sharms. It's glass half
I'm embracing
full.
These injuries. They're great.
Yes, I like it. You're spinning it. You're pivoting.
Pivot!
Dubsy, switching to the women.
Yeah.
I mean, Zambia is awful. Like, mm-hmm. not a good team, but who cares? This is another win and a 4-0 win with a couple of players that really need to establish themselves, young players. Getting a brace each.
Well, I wouldn't qualify or categorize Nichelle Prince as a young player, but this is somebody who...
She hit me, though. She seems that she's young. I remember when she broke through, not. She was so young. I know she's not. It makes sure. me feel old.
Yeah. Yeah, she's been around for a while and then struggled for meaningful minutes at club. She's made the move to Boston Legacy. She's playing bigger minutes starting. And then I think you could see that in her form. And she needed to make her mark on the game, and she did with one that was maybe gifted to her, but a couple of great beaches. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh my God! What
and
happened to the last
Annabelle Chukwu, who got the other brace, 19 years old.
I would have said Nichelle is 25. She's 31.
I know.
That's great. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But 31 just shows how the game flies by so quickly.
Yeah. And it was good for, I was really happy to see Nichelle Prince not only perform the way that she did, but to contribute and get that offensive output, because she's done a lot of work. And Casey Stoney has mentioned how critical she is with her energy, her personality, her character in camp, off the pitch. You need that out of your players who are in their 30s, these elder states women who understand what it is to win medals and to have success. But it's also a little bit at odds with Casey Stoney proclaiming after they got embarrassed 3-0 by the U.S. last summer in June, they go on a 5-game winless run, a skid. They don't score a goal. And then you're still calling her in. And she's like, you need to perform at your club or you won't get on this roster. You won't get called in. And then there were always exceptions to the rule. And we understand that Adriana Leon, Ashley Lawrence were left out. Lawrence was called back in for this camp, but suffered a little niggle and injury. She doesn't get called in. Leon has a back injury. So it seems like, you know, empty threats a little bit, but you finally get Nichelle Prince who's delivering and leading that line. And there's depth now across the front, and the potential to score by committee, because you have all kinds of weapons, whether you're wingers, whether you're playing a false nine or a 10. I think that creative force, much like on the men's side, is still missing on the women's side. Like, who's going to pull the strings? Who's going to be that creative force? Don't really know yet, but you have the likes of Olivia Smith, you have Evelyn Vienne, you have the youth and Kaylee Hunter, Annabelle Chukwu, who broke Christine Sinclair's youth international scoring record and now scored a brace and looked very, not unimpressed with herself, but she looked like she'd been there before. And I think that's what you want out of a kid who's got so much potential. And you've got DB Pridham, who was the Golden Boot winner in NSL, gets the assist on Nichelle Prince's first goal. And she's doing so much work watching her movement, curving her runs, trying to break that back line because they had five across the back. Canada struggled, I think, in the first half to get good speed of play and a good tempo in 40-degree weather and 65% humidity. It should be noted. So there are lots of changes. But she had a really great performance playing as an out-and-out nine when previously with Canada she'd played off the wing. So I think that's her spot. And I think she's gone out and grabbed it because Casey Stoney's been very impressed with Pridham.
Progress, right? And up next, by the way, how was the broadcast? You, Jordan, and Andy, right? We're hosting it there.
No, it was Kate McKenna.
Okay, Andy sorry, Kate. Be... Sorry, Kate. Andy's okay. Last night on CPL. I also watched a lot of football this weekend.
No, I know.
Sorry, I don't get Andy and Kate mixed up very often. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, no, Kate's a real pro, just like Andy. And it was good. It was fun and great to call goals.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
So up next?
Up next is South Korea. Tomorrow, another 3 p.m. kickoff where broadcast on One Soccer, but TSN is also carrying it. And then Saturday is the, yes, Brazil, the home in team. Brazil. So, yeah, in Brazil. Yeah. To sort of culminate, to wrap up this FIFA series. But I think Canada looks to be in good shape and we'll see different 11. We'll see lots of rotation because you need to in these types of conditions, but I think it's a chance to play against a team that will have more of the ball and we'll get to see Canada hopefully dictate through possession when they have it themselves, but that element of control and how they can impose themselves on the match will be tested in a different way versus South Korea.
We should get Jordan back on the show again. It's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
When you see him, is he doing the broadcast with you on Tuesday?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He'll be back, and then Lisi and him? Jenkins are on the call. Can I book him?
Can you see him?
I can do that. Yeah,
it's much easier in person because it's harder for them to say no.
That's right.
I know. Yeah, you put the pressure on them. Nowhere to hide.
Moving on now. This show's flying by today. Well, TFC, Montreal, Vancouver, Montreal, looking for a new manager.
Looking for a new home.
Looking for a new everything, I think, at this point.
Looking for a new energy, new MO, new strategy.
It's kind of fun not being associated with them anymore, though, eh, Dubs? You could actually do a little bashing. I mean,
well, if you had been there, no. You would have doubled the capacity of the stadium.
Oh, ouch. I still have a lot of, you know, friends and people that I respect who either work for the club or are in that bubble and have to still cover that club. And it's been pretty bleak of late. And Philippe Udafroy, who used to be the head of their academy, was fired during COVID. He is back as interim head coach. And in the meantime, he's worked for Soccer Quebec. He's worked in Senegal. And I think more recently with the Olympique Lyonnais. So he's got kind of a great, very impressive pedigree coming back to the club that let him go 6 years ago. But will it be any different? Would it be any different if people are like, oh, we hope that Wilfred Nancy comes back? Listen, he's never fucking coming back because like that's just broken between he and Joey Saputo. But will anything change no matter who that head coach is? Because things are so dysfunctional behind closed doors with the brass and with the leadership.
Can we put on our aluminum foil hats and let Craig Forrest walk us down what he thinks is going to happen? And what is happening? Oh, so, Craig, can you lead
this
us?
This is going to be a dark passageway.
That's fine. Dark is
it's good. Already dark. It's already dark in Montreal.
Right.
Yeah. I think Joey Saputo is running the club into the ground, and then there's going to be no support, and he's going to say there's not enough support, and I'm going to take the 400, 500 million and sell the club.
And then move it?
Yeah. I think his allegiance is with Bologna and
that's Bologna.
Oscar, you know, his kids run it now, right? Essentially,
mm-hmm. Luca and Simone.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Are they just like the fall guys here? They're just doing the dirty work for the dad, or is the hope that they have some kind of ambition to grow this thing?
Mm. What are the fans saying? What are the supporters saying? Because, like, the ownership is showing no ambition. So why would the fans want to go see that? Like,
they're not, are they?
That's the sentiment for us. Do you hit it?
Yeah.
Hit the nail right on the head.
Tom Bogut was tweeting on the weekend saying, Montreal has not spent a single real dollar on a transfer fee to sign a DP since club legend Lucho Piatti in 2014. Because Mihailovic was allocation money, Wanyama was free transfer, Ivan Hamy a loan. So what results can ownership reasonably expect?
Bang
dark
on.
Days.
Dark, we've been talking about Vancouver days. Moving. I wonder who moves first. How about that? That MGM, yeah. Make me a market.
I was watching the Vancouver game this weekend, and they've got 25,000 fans there.
Brilliant.
25,000 fans, right? It's loud. They're playing incredible football. They got all this talent. Sort it out. Sort it out. It's clearly a great market, a growing market as well. Figure it out, someone with money and brains, please, because it's kind of crazy to think that they are, you know, in this existential crisis when you see that on the weekend. No one was there and they were crap. Okay. You know, it's Montreal, but it's not that case in Vancouver. They look great again against New York City.
And out of those 25,000 fans, how many of those are going to be going to a World Cup game?
Six.
Yeah, not very many.
Seriously, it could be under 10.
Six of them. Mm-hmm. It's true.
Yeah,
it's true. That was from what I saw, it was a great goal. Great, great game, sorry. Matt Freeze had some huge saves. It could have been a lot more than the two.
He did.
That first half especially, right? It could have been 4 or 5.
Oh, man. He made a really good save down low to his right. It was really, really good. Difficult save for a goalkeeper.
Yeah, the one that's kind of close into his body.
Yeah.
And they're tougher, it's right? Because really I think his goalie on the call was saying how they're tougher, actually, than diving across goal to get down low.
Yeah. And hit really hard, like really well. Mm-hmm. Those are tough just beside your tight to your body, beside your feet. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Sharms. I'm just going to the Vancouver attendance. Right now, they are ranked third in the MLS ahead of LAFC, who is fourth. But the Charlotte and Atlanta has the most at 40, like close to 40,000. Charlotte is at 30 and Vancouver is at 25,000. So it's pretty.
I believe Vancouver is 25% more than last year at this point. 25%. That's huge. Amazing what winning does, right?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
TFC, another late goal against. But they tie Cincy 1-1. No Walker Zimmerman in this one. Mihailovic, Jimmy, out with a broken pelvis.
Yeah.
How did he manage that? I mean, was that in the game? I forget. Was the injury? Was it? Because at the time, they didn't mention it being that serious.
I think it was a niggle that he's been carrying for a while now, and it just got to the point where it came to a head and he just couldn't continue and had to get it fixed.
So you can play with a fractured pelvis?
I think it's a stress fracture, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm.
So yeah, it's a fine line. Fine line between a fracture and a stress fracture. That's pretty good.
don't be callous about it, Sharms. Come on.
Uh-oh. Yeah, but that's a huge loss to them. They're out. He's out for 2 months, I believe, isn't he?
Yeah, he's out for a while now, which is a shame because he is a great player, and that's a matchup you want to see with Georgie and Josh. That combo is going to be very, very good once those two get going.
Sounds like that could be a TV show, Georgie and Josh.
Yeah,
one's a cousin from Eastern Europe.
Oh. Yeah. Right.
Perfect strangers. Part two.
Yeah. Falky.
Falky, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a terrible show, but amazing as well.
But I watched it every week.
Yeah. And then Rue McClanahan had a great role in that, and so did B. Arthur. Oh, no, different show. Same era.
Thank you for being a friend, Balky.
they love their ice cream and cheesecake, didn't they? Balky and Larry. all right, CPL. So I mentioned Supra with their first match and getting a win. Good win, good game that actually as well. What else happened here this weekend, Jimmy? You were doing the CPL Forge with a late one and late yesterday. No, actually, it's the afternoon game, wasn't it? Yesterday with Cavalry. Mm-hmm. And what's going on with Mejia? and Tommy there late in the game. There's some good old-fashioned sporting rivalry there, right?
There definitely was. It was a little bit heated at the end of the match. It just kind of seemed like both managers just calling each other out. I think with Mejia, we know how vocal he is at times, and I think maybe across the league with some of his comments, it probably comes across as quite disrespectful. And Tommy's not a guy to back down either. And if he doesn't think that something's right, he's the first person to call you out. So I think Tommy's called him out a little bit, and they had a pop at each other.
Good for the game. And snow as well. That. I was kind of laughing before kickoff. There's snow coming down. It's like, oh, again? Going to do this again? Not so much, though. Any other comments on the CPL weekend? Good. It's early doors.
It's CPL early.
CPL corner's awfully small this morning.
That's right.
Yeah. What else has got happening this weekend? Ismail Koenig scored a goal. Mm-hmm. In a loss to Genoa for Sassuolo. Liam Miller had an assist as Hull lose to Sheffield United. And Craig, you want to talk about Max last night, Orlando.
Yeah, I mean, I texted Max last week and just about what's going on in Orlando. Hope he's enjoying his time there and can any chance they can fucking defend. he came back with, you know, we're working on it. Before the game, it was actually 3 hours before the game started last night. So we're working on it, trying to make it right, and I'm trying to control what I can control, and that's what he did. And he played really well again last night. They got a point, which was nice for Orlando, but giving up a lot of chances again. But more importantly, Max is keeping his head down and doing his job, and played well. So that was good to see.
It's against Columbus 1-1, the final there. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I think that's probably it for today's show.
No, not yet. We got to do our promos because W has some things to talk about. She was on a national CBC show this morning, radio, and didn't talk about it. So we get to promo that and find it online. And then just her schedule this week. So we know where to find her.
Oh, yeah. So I was on with Matt Galloway this morning on CBC's The Current. Had a good chat about the Men's World Cup, the buzz and the performance of the team and what I think about all that. And then, so tomorrow, 3 p.m., I mentioned Canada versus South Korea and simulcast on TSN. And then the 9:30 p.m. kickoff on Saturday versus host Brazil to wrap up the FIFA series. And then we're not very far away from the kickoff to NSL. So this week, be on the lookout for a broadcast. Mm-hmm. Where we'll talk women's national team, and then next week, hopefully an interview or two and a preview of the sophomore Northern Super League season.
Yes, what is it, 12 days away, 11 days away?
Oh, what the fuck?
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Someone found a button. Press. Nice. Yeah, it's what, 11? Oh, it's JC's here. That's why.
JC's imagine it was up. Me. It was me. I gave myself a plus.
Bravo.
Where to go, Dubs? Where to go?
Yeah, but I think 11, 10 days away now. It's very close anyway.
Yeah, 11.
11, yeah. Well, okay, yep. Good.
April 24th.
This week is a Champions League week as well. We see some big teams crashing out of the Champions League. So maybe we'll touch on that later as well. But yeah, again, let us know what you think, everybody. On all things football, make sure you subscribe to our newsletter. Leave us comments, reviews, 5-star ratings, all that good stuff. Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary.
I'm sure JC is going to jump in, but red card, yellow card. RTDs debuted this weekend, and we had lots of pics social media about people enjoying said drinks.
Mm-hmm. How many did we sell?
Two.
Excellent. That's two more than last week.
At least.
Claudio bought both of them.
Right.
Was it two yellows?
Claudio got shit-faced.
Two yellows and one red, right? Is that how that works?
Something like that, yeah.
There's a promotion there somewhere, isn't there? Buy two yellows, get a red. Oh, that's brilliant.
Get booked with Footy Prime.
Ooh, I like it.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary.
Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.
Sharp, stop doing that. Sharp's like,
it's creepy.
Overbite, yes.
White man's overbite, yeah. All right,
JC found his sound effects file.
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you for being a friend.
Yeah.
Lupo.
JC, we need a gong.
And this is why we need our Patreon, right?
And
so far gone.